Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. For your fellowship is in the gospel, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we thank you, God, for your presence here. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to bring your word this morning. And Lord, we pray, God, at this time of the opening of the word, we pray, God, for the anointing to be strong. I pray, God, in this atmosphere right now, Lord, that you would just feel free, Holy Spirit, to move among us. And when we bind you in the name of Jesus, you have no part in this business this morning. We bind you, we resist you in the name of Jesus this morning. But we know the Holy Spirit has a work to do, and you have no part of that in this house. And we come to you asking for the anointing, Father, this morning to preach this word in Jesus' name. You know, as Paul is sitting under house arrest in Rome, waiting trial, and some will actually say he's actually in a prison cell. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible we don't know exactly, but we can kind of piece together. We know this much, that he has been arrested, and he's not able to do and go about his business as usual. And in here, we spoke of it last week, this is where he wrote the epistles, many of them. But as he's sitting there, something has sparked his memory of those in the church of Philippi. Perhaps it was the latest offering that he had received, and maybe it had a note of encouragement in that, of just encouraging Paul a little bit while he's been in prison or locked up. And, you know, a little note can do a wonderful thing in our life when people just take a moment and just encourage you one way or the other. And so we know that Paul, perhaps that's what's taking place. For the Bible doesn't tell every detail of what happens. And we got to realize there's humans that are intertwined here, and they're encouraging one another. And so sometimes we bring in details maybe that we didn't think of, because they do have these communications and conversations. They're real people just like you and I are, or they were real people. And so we never know exactly what sparked that. Or maybe it's just in passing of time and nothing else to do. You know, when you think about those days back then, young people, they didn't have radio. They didn't have TV. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have phones or anything like that to entertain them or pass that time through. So maybe it was just in the passing of time that he started to think about these friends of his in the church of Philippi. And maybe it was that got a hold of him. Oftentimes, you and I, we understand what it means to have our memory sparked in our lives. That moment something takes place, maybe it was a picture. I have a picture that's in my office in there, and it's a picture of Fisk, Texas. How many of you know where Fisk, Texas is? Oh, you know where Fisk is? Cool. All right. Population, probably 3 now, but I got a picture there. That's where my dad was raised. That's where we'd go see grandma and granddad. And every time I look at that picture, it just sparks the memories of the gravel driveway as we pull up and different things. Just looking at that picture, it's almost like I'm back there at that moment. And we all know what that is. One thing may spark, whether it's a picture or perhaps it's a cable or perhaps it's not a cable, I got up on the wrong line, a song or maybe a movie or something else like that in our life that sparks that, just something that brings us back to that moment. We all know how the memory works in that direction. Or maybe a mentioning of a name, and it just brings us back. It can take us back 30 years as if it's right there at that moment. So we know this much about Paul, is that something had sparked his remembrance, his memory of the church of Philippi. See, Paul was having to remember because the church of Philippi was no longer present in his daily life. And truly, that's what memories are many times, is when that person or that thing is no longer present in our daily life. There's a quote by J.M. Barrie that says that illustrates the power of memory. It says, God gave us memory so that we might have roses in December. That God gave us these memories that we perhaps would have roses in December, that we can remember things that are good to us. This quote shows us memories can be a good thing. Paul allowed his remembrance of the church in Philippi to motivate him in a positive way. When he thought about the church in Philippi, he allowed it to motivate him in a positive way. His remembrance of the Philippi church, the church in Philippi, yielded two actions. The first thing that it yielded in his life was thanksgiving unto God for them. When that remembrance came, it brought thanksgiving unto God for them. And then it also brought a joyful intercession for them. In that moment that he thought of them, he immediately thanked God for them, and then it also brought a joyful intercession for them. Now, if you're not familiar with the word intercession, that means he started to pray for them. He started to lift them up to God. And you know, we can intercede for somebody. It doesn't necessarily have to be a bad moment for them, but we can intercede for people for good things in their life. And so what this memory does, this remembrance of them, sparked these two things in Paul's life at that moment. And it brought forth something that was good. It motivated him in a positive way to do something. Let's look at the first one this morning. The first thing was giving God thanks for all our memories. Giving God thanks for all our memories. This was the first thing that we find that Paul was moved to do. He was motivated by his remembrance of the church of Philippi, and he was motivated to give God thanks for all his memories when they are triggered. How many of you know sometimes things trigger our memory? Paul wrote this in Philippians 1, verse 3. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now that's New King James. The New Living Translation says, I thank my God for every remembrance of you, or every time I think of you. As I mentioned earlier, memories can be triggered by different things. And that being said, they can be good or bad memories. Now, I'm just expressing what I know in life and what you know in life, that some things can trigger good and bad memories. And notice what Paul said. He says, I thank God for all memories. I thank God for every time I think of you. I thank God for every time this comes into remembrance of who you are and what has happened. It would be great if we could get rid of the bad ones. Amen. I know some of your parents have tried to keep your kids from doing the things that you did so that they wouldn't have to deal with the bad memories. No amens? Come on now, let's be real just for a moment. We try to guide them in a way that they don't have to deal with the battle that's in your mind or in our minds because of the mistakes we made. We try to guide them so they don't have to wrestle with them the rest of their lives. And some just go on down that road regardless, right? But we try to do our best. And it would be great if we had a button that would just erase all the bad memories in our life and we would have nothing but good memories. Can I tell you something? That day's coming. And that day when we get to heaven, these things will change for us. But until then, we're going to have to mess around or mess with the memories that we have in our lives. You know, it's easy to give thanks for good memories. It's easy. How many of you have ever had someone catch you and say, why are you smiling? And you're thinking back about a good time in life. Or you're thinking about a good memory that had popped up for whatever reason it might have been. It might have been a movie. It might have been this. Something jarred that memory. And a grin's on your face because you're thinking about the good time perhaps you had with that person or whoever it was or whatever it was going on. You think about that. And the memory is just bringing back that moment of happiness in your life. You know, it's easy to give God thanks for that. Paul was probably remembering something about maybe the prayer meeting that they had down at the river, and Lydia got saved, and Lydia and her whole household got saved, and perhaps he thought about that. Or maybe it was the great fellowship that they had afterward and the opportunity to preach the word. He was maybe thinking about how the church of Philippi got started and how it was growing and how things were happening and people were getting saved. And perhaps he even thought about the jailer who got saved and his whole household got baptized. Oh, and how God worked in miraculous ways. Perhaps Paul was thinking about things like that. You know, I think good memories are a good thing. Sometimes we can think back in a church and think how God moved here and God moved that. Or maybe it's that person that came into your life and you got saved and you thank God for that person. I'm saying today the good memories are easy to give God thanks for. Amen. I can't tell you what Paul was thinking or what brought that church into his remembrance. But I know there were some good things that came out of that church that Paul could give God thanks for. You know, all of us this morning have good things that we can give God thanks for, good memories in our lives. It might have been a person that you went through life with. It may have been a church that you attended. It may have been someone that, like I said, led you to the Lord. Those are good things in our lives. It may be the time that God opened a certain door for you in your life. Or whatever it may be, those things are also good to remember and to give God thanks for those. It's a good thing. I think about my pastor, Ray Cook, and I often thank God for him, that him and his family would leave a state that had too many trees in it and came to the panhandle of Texas that didn't have hardly any trees in it. And he's a tree man. Believe me, he just loves cutting down trees. I think that's why he wasn't happy here. He didn't have no trees to cut down. But I think of people like that in my life. I think of Brother Greaser and how he poured in my life, how he mentored me and helped me to be the man I am today. I think about people like that, and I give God thanks for those people. But can I tell you, Paul also had some bad memories. He had some bad memories of planting the church at Philippi. Remember, he was beaten at that time. Him and Silas both were beaten for preaching the gospel of Jesus, and they ended up in a jail cell, and it literally bound like this, and they had been there in that jail cell. I'm sure there were some bad memories that would come up. Nobody likes to remember the painful things. There were some bad things that he could remember. And we must wonder how could Paul, because every time I think of the church of Philippi, I give God thanks. Now, could that always be because of the good things? Or perhaps could it be because of the bad things also that he gave God thanks? Now, how could he do that? I can tell you this much. You know what was related with his jail stay? What was with the stint that he paid there in jail? You know what was related with that? There was a family that got saved out of it. You know what also was related in that moment of a bad memory? How he was beaten, how he's bleeding, and how everything was bad? There was also a supernatural act of God that delivered him out of that cell. I'm telling you, when you want to thank God in your life about the bad things, perhaps we are to thank God of how he delivered us out of that moment. Some of you can say right now, I am so glad I am not back there where I was today. Oh, have you ever thought about when you were wayward from God and you weren't living for God?
you might have been doing things that you ought not to be doing, but God was faithful to you. His mercy kept you till His grace could find you. I'm telling you, oftentimes we get locked in on the bad things and we forget to thank God. That is no longer who I am, but God has changed me. He's made me a new man. I thank God for the way He pulled me out of that moment in my life. How can we thank Him for the bad memories? Thank God we're not there no more. Amen. Come on, there's a way to thank God for every memory that we come through. And if you're in a bad moment, a bad time in your life, you need to start thanking God that He's going to bring you out of it. Amen. Because that's what God does, to give Him thanks. I can think back in my life, and I preached it a while back, that God is faithful even when I wasn't faithful. And I thank God, through His mercy, I came through that time to give God thanks. So when the enemy brings something up in your mind that you might have not done right back then, you can immediately say, get out of my mind first, but I'm going to thank God that I'm no longer there. I'm somebody different. Because we can thank God. Paul was thanking God. He said, I thank God every time you come to my mind. He gave Him thanks. Listen, here's a scripture for you. If you can't thank Him when you were going through a bad time, but listen to what it's. I love Psalms 40 verse 1-3. I waited patiently for the Lord and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put, listen to this. He has put a new song, hallelujah, in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear, and I will trust the Lord. Hallelujah. What is it? He brought me out of it. And I thank God for today. I wasn't going to hop today because my knee is messed up. But you get excited when you think about what God is doing in your life. Hallelujah. And we can thank God for bringing us out. Hallelujah. Thanking God for everything. Hallelujah. When those things spark, we give thanksgiving and praise and glory for God for what He has done, even through the bad times of our life. He has brought us through. He has made me a new person. He has taught us to learn from our mistakes. Come on, has anybody made a mistake here? Got one in the house, Brother Art. Thanks for being honest. He's helped us to learn from those turns that we made back then to where we don't make them anymore. God is good. He continues to walk with us. Continues to walk with us. Thank God. He also, when we speak of this, to thank God, and especially those memories we hold close to our hearts. Thank God for those memories that we hold close to our heart. Here in this passage, let me back up just, next month, Robin and I will be celebrating, I got this right this time, 36 years of marriage. 36. We hadn't even been married 20 when we got here, and now we're fixing to be celebrating 36 years. I still remember, as if yesterday when I look at the wedding, I still remember how beautiful she looked in her wedding dress that day in Carmel, California. I see her peeking around the corner, and she had this little hat on and this wonderful looking wedding dress, and just that. I remember it as if it happened yesterday. What a precious memory that is to me, one that I hold close. All of us have special memories today that we tuck in, and those things really mean a lot to us. And Paul had a special memory. And I thank God for the special moments, those special things in our life that we get to tuck in and we hold in and we hold them close to our hearts. And Paul was doing this in Philippians 1:5. He says this. This is something he says, I thank God for every time I think of you. Every time I think of you, I thank God for you. But also, this is one of the special things I remember about you, church at Philippi. He says, I thank God for the fellowship in the gospel from the day first day until now. One of the special things he remembered and thanked God for about that church was from the day that they got saved until now, the fellowship they had in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now you say, that's a funny thing to hold tight, but listen to you. How many of you are familiar with who Paul is? See, this really ties into Paul and who Paul was. His passion was sharing Jesus, so much so that it cost him his life of sharing the cross. He said, I come with not fancy speech or anything, but I come just sharing the cross of Calvary. What Paul loved the most was sharing Jesus with somebody. And he says, one of the most precious memories I have of you, church at Philippi, is that from the day you were first born until now, you have had fellowship with me in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a tucked in, close memory to Paul when he talks about sharing the gospel. He says, I love a church that will share Jesus. I love a person that would share Jesus. That's what motivated Paul. And he says, you got a special place in my heart because you want to share Jesus with somebody. He points out that fellowship, and the word also could be partnership. See, we need more of this kind of fellowship in the church today, my friend, of sharing Jesus. You want to know why the church is declining in America today? It's because we're not sharing Jesus enough. We need to share a little bit more of the Lord. The word fellowship in the Greek means partnership, participation, or social intercourse, communion, fellowship. And it also means to come together and preach the gospel. In other words, it means to be involved in this passage. It means to be involved in the sharing of the gospel. Paul enjoyed the fact. And he says, you are partners with me. You have fellowship with me because you are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the same word used in 1 John chapter 1 four times, and that word always ties us back to Christ. When it talks about fellowship, is where it's translated there. It talks about the fellowship. It always ties us back to Christ. And giving thanks to the special memory of them. When he thinks about their fervency and he thinks about how they partnered with the sharing the gospel of Jesus, it brings another thought to Paul at that moment. In light of their changed lives and priorities, let me know, when you get Jesus, there ought to be a change in your life. There ought to be something that's different. And I believe one of the first things that happens when you get Jesus, you got to tell somebody about the Lord. But you know what's sad? What we find many times, people will come to the altar today, they'll ask God to forgive them of sins, they'll feel the burden lifted from them, but they'll go back out in their life and never give God a second thought. And that hurts as a pastor. It's kind of discouraging as a church many times when we see people come and never get another step further. I'm going to tell you what I've learned. You can't drag a person to church. You can't force them to eat. They've got to have something that's happened inside of them that stirs them up to a point that they are hungry. They wake up hungry. They go to bed hungry. And they want to share Jesus. It's not my job to change what's on the inside of a person. It's them to release and let God change them. And when that happens in a person's life, then there's a new person that we call a new creation. And that new creation, sometimes you have to say, settle down a little bit. I'm just saying, because they're on fire for God. Oh my word, to have people come to the altar, get saved, and get on fire again for God would be an awesome thing for America today, because we would see the church of Jesus Christ to grow once again. Why? Because people have got on fire for God. Paul noticed this about the church of Philippi when he thought and remembers and gave thanks for them. He had seen a work in their life Come on, it's not works that saves a person. The Bible very clearly says that. But James also said when you get saved, there's going to be some evidence that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord. And Paul noticed this in that church. Oh, for the day to see people come to the altar. Come on, we had 70 come during Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames to see that next step. He said, Pastor, go out and get them. No, I'm not going to hound them. If it happened in their life, they need to get here themselves. Oh, I've sent out a couple encouragement messages. You either get to church or not. No. But I'm just saying, you can't force people. If you have to force people to serve God, then I wonder if anything really happened inside of them. If you have to force somebody to come to church, something's not right there. How many know? Many are called, but few are chosen. Paul's seen something in this church at Philippi, and I think sometimes we need to understand it also. He's seen something in them in light of their zeal and passion for the gospel. He's seen something that was taking place in their life, said, hey, I think something genuine has happened in their life. I believe this church at Philippi, these Philippians, that they got something true about God because I see something about them. And he says this about this. Because, see, he also knows this, that he's not there to take care of them spiritually, but he also knows that God is there. Now, I'm going to tell you some of the things sometimes an evangelist will be concerned about, even a pastor. When a pastor leaves the church, he's wondering about that new babe that just got saved. He's wondering, but God, this one just got saved. You sure you want me to leave? But, you know, God is able to do something when someone's genuinely saved that they'll grow. I was just a babe in Christ when Ray Cook and his family loaded up in a grain truck, all their stuff, and went back to Missouri. And I'm sitting there thinking, why are you leaving me? But guess what? God didn't leave. There was something that happened in my life. And when there's something that happens in somebody's life, God will see to them that they will grow and mature and give the confidence to that person that's concerned, as Paul was in Rome, wondering whether or not that church was going to really go forward and keep growing and continue. And in that thought of this, when he had that remembrance of it, he says something like this in this passage of Scripture to the church of Philippi. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, oh, we'll complete it until the day of Christ. How many know that's not just something to encourage them, but it was a proclamation from Paul of saying, my God will finish what has started in your life, even if I'm not there. What made him know that is because the fruits he's seen in their lives, the zeal that they had for God, that they were busy. You want to know the healthiest thing that a Christian can do is share Jesus with somebody. You want to stay on fire? Share Jesus. And see what happens. And see how people get saved. Paul said, hey, and I know this word right here, I know for each one of us the same thing. He says, he who began a good work in us, what's that begin? When I got saved, when I converted, when I became a Christian, he will complete that work. That says it's not completed in me. It's not completed today in me. God is still working on me. And y'all say, amen, Pastor, you need it. I'm just saying God is still working on each one of us if we will let him. And he will continue to work on us until we either breathe our last breath or the rapture takes place. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, because I'm ready for this. So he speaks to them and he says this about them, being confident. And I'm sure when all this, have you ever had a moment when you're praying and you have an answer in your prayer that brings forth a flood of excitement? Have you been there?
Some of you are shaking your heads. I've been there. And all of a sudden, there's just a moment of rejoicing. I'm sure in Paul's imprisonment at that very moment, when God put that into his mind, hey, I got them. They're going to be okay. He might have done a Pentecostal dance like, woo, praise God, because the answer that it came. I'm going to tell you, I get excited when God answers in the midst of my prayer. And I don't know about you, sometimes your neighbor may think you're a little crazy. But I thank God when he brings that down and you know it's from God, it's a certain word, and God brought that down into their life. At that moment, I'm confident that God's going to finish the work that he began in you. Come on, there's something about a prayer that says that with boldness, and that's what Paul had toward them. God is amazing. It had to be a joyful occasion. It started with a good work. Paul reveals something about this whole remembrance and being thankful for this church and how special, especially for those moments that for when they're tucked in close to us. And he reveals in this passage of Scripture why it's so special to him. In verses 7 to 8, listen what he says. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all. He says, just as it is right for me to think of this for you all. And listen why he says it, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my chains and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me of grace. What's he saying? He says, I have the right to think that God's going to finish in the work, this work with you, because I see your heart is the same as my heart. I see that you are desiring God to do this. Even in my chains, you have supported me. Even in my chains, you have ministered to me. Even in my chains. Why does he say that? Because some of the church was turning away from Paul because he had been arrested and he was in chains. He says to the church of Philippi, even in my imprisonment, you have been with me in the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, even there. And I have the right to say this about you because you're not just some acquaintance, but you have someone that got closely tucked into my heart. And I have the right to say this about you. He says, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Can you feel the love that Paul has for this church? Come on. When we have those special memories, they're always and most generally generated by a deep love we have for that person that we are thinking about. You know what Paul did? He thanked God for them. Come on. I'm just saying today we need to get in the habit of thanking God. He thanked God when he thought of them, and he also thanked God for that really special memory that he had of them, of sharing the gospel. What am I saying today? I'm saying that perhaps we could be a little more about Paul. Because listen, giving thanks for our memories is a trained discipline. Giving thanks for our memories is a trained discipline. Paul was a man of discipline. Every time I decide to be disciplined, it just doesn't work sometimes. We try to do this and that to be better, healthy and all that, and it's difficult. But we know that Paul was a man of discipline. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul, it says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Not only was he disciplined in his walk with God, but he also taught others to be disciplined in their walk with God. In other words, he talked in that same passage of Scripture, run in a way that you shall get the crown. And he talked about how athletes will train and they'll do what they need to do and do away with what they don't and bring in what they do so they can win the race. And Paul said, be disciplined in that. He says, even myself, I discipline myself. So we know that Paul is about discipline. Have you figured out some of our Christian walk is about being disciplined in what we do? Discipline in getting up in the morning, opening that Bible up, getting you two cups of Folgers.
and sitting there reading the Word of God, discipline in prayer time, discipline in witnessing, discipline in these. There's all kinds of areas in our life that we need to be disciplined so that we can be better Christians and better people unto God. And it takes discipline in our lives. Paul was a disciplined man. I'm sure it didn't just come natural to him when he thought of people in remembrance to pray for them. Or it wasn't natural for him to give thanks, but Paul made a discipline in his life to be that. Now listen, I keep a candy jar in my office. And I know you've heard me say this. Over the years, I mean, I've seen the Downs boys come in and raid it when they were little. Rebecca, wherever she's at, she still thinks she's 4 years old. That's how old she was when she came in and got the candy. I'm reminding her that she's 18 now. I'm a month early. Okay, all right. Just hard to believe that she was like this when she got here. Now she's like this looking down on me. Watching these kids grow up here. But I've had that candy jar there just so that I can kind of build a relationship and that they're not afraid of my office. But the thing is this, I can tell you, I can think of more than one occasion where the parent will follow the kid into the candy store. And the kid will get some candy and the parent will say, "What do you say?" And they'll look at them like, "What do you say?" And sometimes we'll get that thank you out of there. And sometimes it will come later in their life when they learn to say thank you. But the fact is, the parent is trying to get a discipline in their life to say thank you or thanks for things. How many think the world would be a much better place if we all learned how to say thank you a little more? Amen. Be a little more thankful. So to say thanks, and what I'm talking about this morning, it is a discipline in our life that we learn. Many times it doesn't come natural to us. But when we hear those thoughts, when we think of that, whatever sparks that memory, what if we was to start to say, "Thank you, God, for that memory," and tell Him why we're thankful. Paul trained himself to be thankful, not to just give lip service, but from a genuine heart. This is not my Thanksgiving sermon, but I'm going to tell you something. I preached one many years back, "Gratitude is an Attitude." How many of y'all remember that awesome sermon? None of you. But can I tell you this? When you think about attitude, attitude can be disciplined to change. You can change your attitude. And it can be disciplined to change just to start trying a few thank yous when you start to have that memory. Pastor Oliver, come. Paul, in this whole thing, whether it was a good memory or whether it was a bad memory, learned to say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God." He disciplined himself to be able to bring that out. He didn't hang around in the bad memory. He said, "Thank you, God, for bringing me out." Come on, we never need to hang out in the bad memories. We just need to say, "Thank you, God, for bringing me through it. I'm still alive. I'm still one piece. God, thank you for bringing me through it." And the good memories in our life where we can tuck them in, such as my grandma and granddad's place and all the family, I wouldn't take anything for those memories, but I thank God that I have that memory. You know, a person that does not live life, does not try to love, will never have a memory of people deep down in their hearts. But God is awesome. God does amazing things when we learn to be thankful. And Paul was truly thankful.
for these people that he had met in Philippi. So much so, he says, you are in my heart. I love you. And I have the right to be thankful for you because what you've done in my life. And we are coming up on what we call the Thanksgiving month. What a great opportunity to start a new discipline in our lives. They say, I believe it is, Pastor Oliver can correct me because he's younger than I am, but I believe it's 21 days that starts a habit in somebody's life. 21 days of doing something can start a habit in our lives. Why not start a new habit or a new discipline by giving thanks unto God in every remembrance this morning?